I too would like to welcome everyone in the precious name of the Lord, and I wish from the bottom of my heart that everyone feels at home, that everyone get blessed from the riches of the grace of our God. We are grateful to God that there is still time. Imagine if the Lord had already come and all the dispersion among the people of God. Everyone is going in different directions. Who could the Lord have taken home if he had come? Yes, whom? Whom? No, we believe that when he comes, there will be a bride in lockstep with the bridegroom, in conformity with the word, in divine harmony, one heart and one soul. There's no other way. There's no other way. How many believe that the Lord will make it with us? Amen. Amen. Yes, he will make it with us, because he said so. There is much good to report. You all know, people are usually a little bit of little faith, sometimes we also, and a little bit of a pessimist now and then. Often we emphasize that which does not build up, but let us stand in the faith, walk in the faith, go forward and really believe. He who believes is already saved and is justified. When we will go into our subject in a moment, we will surely find that God has placed everything on the basis of faith, and people are only getting lost because they don't believe God. Not because they have sinned, but because they do not believe. And therefore it is written, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not maketh God a liar. And he that maketh God a liar, how shall he appear before him or stand his ground before him? This is impossible. The greatest insult and the greatest pain we can inflict to the Lord is not to believe him. That is the greatest pain. That's why he also kept saying, oh, that you could believe, you would see the glory of God. And he scolded their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe even those who saw him after his resurrection. Imagine people coming and saying, we have seen the Lord, he is risen, and they didn't believe it. May the Lord give us faith. Faith is a gift from God, and therefore it is written that not all men have faith, but all the believers should have faith. Is that right? If not all men have faith, to this we say amen. But all believers should have faith. Amen. And that is the faith, as the scripture says. Not as men say, but as the scripture says. I notice that there is more air circulation with you than here in the front. And Brother Schmidt noticed it before me, and he came and said, take off your jacket. And that's what I'm doing now, because he said so. Yes, sir. That's a way to put blame on others. No, I don't mean that. It was just a very good suggestion. Beloved, when I think about what God has done, about His Word, how He has revealed it, about how He has opened and anointed our eyes and hearts, how He has given the understanding for the Scriptures by His grace, then we have much reason and cause to thank our God from the bottom of our hearts. That which is dear and valuable to us, others trample under their feet. Believers, true believers, and make and unbelievers are mutually exclusive. We shake our heads at unbelievers or other believers because they cannot believe as the Scripture says, and they shake their heads at us and think to themselves, huh, they are the greatest fanatics that can exist on earth. So one shakes his head at the other. I just saw our brothers and sisters from Russia. God bless you in our midst. Be welcome. Amen. How wonderful that we can believe. And as I just said, one shakes his head at the other. The Lord was amazed at the unbelief that he encountered at that time. And then, when the friends told him, "We have Moses and we have Abraham," that was too much. Then he said, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me. And before Abraham was, I am." And they just couldn't believe it or understand it. Neither who he was, nor the purpose for which he had come. And we may look back today and simply thank God for the overall view that he has given us by his grace. And as Brother Branham said so wonderfully, the whole Bible bears witness to Jesus Christ our Lord. All the prophets throughout the Old Testament have had him as their center point and prophesied of the grace that would come upon us all. All the apostles in turn have had him as their center point, and we too may have and make him our center point. For it is still written, "He who is the head and should have the preeminence in all things." Let us give him the first place and welcome him in our midst. I'm going to read some scriptures today. Before I do that, I want to read just a few lines from Brother Branham's sermon, "Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed." Here it is about the purpose of the revelation of God in Christ. It says here, "The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. He couldn't do it as the great Jehovah God who covered all space, time, and eternity. He could not. He is too great to ever be revealed to people, because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being do it that never did begin, that after you went beyond the cycle of a hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light, space, and on out into the infinite, into eternity, and a great creature that was all that and still is. Those who want to describe God find it difficult, because God is omnipotent, omnipresent. God is the fullness of all light, all wisdom, the fullness of spirit and power. In this way, he could not reveal himself to mankind. He had to come out of this fullness and even out of the spiritual body into the flesh. And listen to what is written here. But what did he want to do? He wanted to reveal himself as the loving Father, for he was Father, and the only way he could express that was by becoming the Son of Man. That is why Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man. See? How many of them did not know what he was talking about? But did you understand? He wanted to express himself. That was one of his three great purposes: to express himself, to make himself equal with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, which is his bride, so that he could dwell in people. There are still some here. And then it says, thirdly, to restore the kingdom which had fallen through sin, through the first Adam, to its rightful position, back to when he walked with his people in the cool of the evening, talked with them, and had fellowship with them. And now, very briefly, these three lines. He is God, expressed in three manifestations: Father, being Redeemer, Son, Healer, and so on. It is his manifestation forms. Don't you see it? We have received enough teaching in reference to the Godhead, and there's really no human being who can either find the right words or could assimilate in the thoughts to be able to describe God in the right way. We do not need to explain or describe God, but we do have to believe that there's only one true God, besides whom there is no other, and that this one true God, already in the beginning, not even only at the incarnation, but in the beginning, he came out of this fullness into a visible form as the Word, as the Logos, as the one acting and walking, as the visible part of the invisible God. And all people who have ever seen or heard of Yahweh could rightly say, I have seen or heard God. And the same they could later say, whoever has seen the Son has also seen the Father. For the Son was the visible revelation of the Father. Do you all believe that? 100%. Because that is how it is written, and it cannot be otherwise. Today, I would like to talk about the subject holy and pleasing to the Lord. And it is simply on my heart, without being loud, without demonstrating power here, to show us once again the mighty event that happened on Golgotha from the perspective of the Old and New Testament. Many believe in redemption through the blood, and then they begin to work on their lives without ever getting to the point of entering into the rest of God, of simply becoming still before God and becoming aware of it, to have been made acceptable to God, to have been sanctified to God, to have become a special possession of God. We don't believe in a half redemption, half of which came from God, and then half of which would have to be done by us. We believe in a whole redemption that our Savior accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Before we go into this reflection, let me read the two words that our brother from the Elsass and I read together today from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60 and also 61, just briefly, as a bridge. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Not sooner and not later, but at the time when the light of God rises upon us, at that time we have to rise and arise and become light. Arise, become light, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. At the moment when God does this, we are called upon to arise, to become light, because our light has come. And there we already think on the glorious word of prophecy, and there shall be light at evening time, and the word of our Lord, he that followeth me shall not remain in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then the word in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John came on the scene to bear witness to the light that enlightens every man. There is a divine light, and this divine light must not be put under the bushel again after it has been revealed, but belongs upon the lampstand to give light to all who enter. Therefore, the whole was called the lampstand, because the lamps were upon it and gave light. And the second, from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and so forth. I know what we are surely all thinking, that this word was spoken prophetically to our Lord, and we have no objection to that. On the contrary, we can confirm it. In Luke 4, our Lord read this word. We all know that. But I still have a question. What does the gospel of Jesus Christ mean? Is it not the same message that has been proclaimed since Pentecost, that the bound shall be free, the brokenhearted be binded up, and that the captives are set free? Has it remained the same message? Yes. And that is the point we must recognize. The purpose of God in the revelation of Jesus Christ was simply to purchase for himself through his body a church in which he could continue to dwell and work and reveal himself. Let us now go to Psalms 149. Psalms 149, and please keep in mind these words as a topic: holy and pleasing to the Lord. Psalms 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. This is about the people of God, because the Lord is well pleased with his people. Now the question comes into your heart and mine. Is he pleased with me? If so, by what means? And if so again, where is the biblical justification for it? And that is what I want to give today, so that our faith is truly founded and grounded in the Holy Scriptures. From Psalms 19, Psalm 19, here I read verse 15, Psalm 19, verse 15, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We see that here this well-pleasing is already connected with Lord and with Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. What are we thinking of now? Very familiar to all of us from the Gospel of Mark, where it is written how we are to love God. Mark chapter 12, verse 29, and also verse 30. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, The heart, the thoughts, the whole person is addressed here. And that is why already in the Old Testament it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. If the meditation of our hearts is pleasing to God, then the words that come from our lips will also be pleasing to God. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do we understand this? Today it is about holy to the Lord, pleasing to the Lord, so that we come to rest in God, in our hearts, in the blessed assurance that it is not, was not, or will not be our effort, but that God has made a perfect sacrifice to make us pleasing in His sight. I will read it in a moment. First, still from Psalms 20. Psalms 20, verse 4 and 5. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. And then this word Selah is written. This always means to deepen into what has just been expressed, to ponder on it, to learn, explore, or know by revelation the meaning of what has been expressed. And then it says, grant thee to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Brother Rus read it in the word of introduction in Psalms 1. What he begins, that succeeds. Yes, who is it? He that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor treadeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the company of scoffers, but has pleasure in the law of the Lord, and meditates in his law day and night, and so forth. He shall bring forth fruit in his season, his leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. But now, let us go to Leviticus. You all know, in the Holy Scriptures, whether in the books of Moses or in the prophets, which show us a part of God's plan of salvation, and I would like to read here from Leviticus, first from chapter 19 and then from chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 19 from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Then comes a short list, and in verse 5 is what I'm mainly concerned with. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it in such a way that ye may obtain favor thereby. We'll come to that in a moment too, because it's not just about a sacrifice. It is about a sacrifice pleasing to God, and it must be offered in the way God wants it. so that it makes us pleasing before Him. Let us to this read from Leviticus. Leviticus 22, verse 19 to 21. And I ask you to listen very carefully here. So it must, the sacrifice, to make it acceptable to you, it must be a male animal without defect, of cattle, or of sheep, or of goats. Keep in mind the word a male animal without blemish. Verse 20. But whatsoever has a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it would not make you acceptable. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. We will go to the New Testament in a moment. Don't worry. I have the clock in front of me too. But we are gathered here in the presence of God. Today, and perhaps tomorrow, we are to show from the Scriptures that we have been made acceptable to God, not only redeemed, but made acceptable to God through a Lamb of God without blemish. Not only redeemed, not only the guilt covered, not only the past settled, but as the redeemed and delivered ones, sanctified to God, consecrated to God, made acceptable to God. We will see it from the Word, and the same formulations that we find here in the Old Testament when it comes to making us pleasing to God, we will read in the New Testament in a moment. Perhaps from Leviticus 22, from verse 31 to 33. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Here, not only in this chapter, but throughout several chapters, it is about being pleasing to God and sanctified to God. We have seen and heard it here, what it took to accomplish this. So it must be to make you acceptable, a male animal without blemish. No animal that has a defect in it may you offer, for it would not make you acceptable. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I beseech you to keep the Old Testament word before your eyes and in your hearts. 1 Peter chapter 1 from 18 to 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. And now it comes. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The lamb that was to make man well-pleasing in the sight of God was not to have any defect. Here is a lamb without blemish, namely the Lamb of God. And believe once according to the Scriptures. He was pleasing to God, and for that reason was able to make us pleasing to God. He was holy and was able to make us holy. He was just and was able to make us just. This is redemption. I read on the second part of this verse, or verse 19 complete. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This is where faith comes in. Faith in a work of redemption so perfectly accomplished in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was without blemish and has made us acceptable in the sight of God. We also come here to Scriptures that will surely speak to our hearts. 1 Peter 2. Let us still read here. 1 Peter chapter 2, 22-25. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You see, without fault, without fault. He has done no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And listen, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Not going to be healed, but ye were healed. The Lamb of God, as a lamb without blemish, has made us acceptable in the sight of God. It was a whole sacrifice. In all the slaughter and burning and however many sacrifices there were, he was the summary of all those sacrifices. And he was the lamb who took away the sin of the world. He was the one in whom we got back the righteousness of God and the holiness of God for the sake of God's well-pleasing. We will see that too. We read now from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What is he called here? As a sacrifice without spot. And the sacrifice without blemish was for what? To make the person offering it acceptable in the sight of God. Here, the high priest and the sacrifice were the same person, two different roles. The high priest offers himself as the sacrifice, not a human hand, the hand of God by the power of the Spirit, as a lamb without blemish, to redeem us so that we can serve God. Not in fear, in reverence. Do we know the difference? Not in fear of punishment. The chastisement was laid upon him. He was like a lamb that does not open its mouth and is silent before the shearer. But he went this way for our sake, not only to redeem, but to leave a finished work of redemption for the redeemed. Everything God has ever wanted to do has been provided at Calvary. With him, how could God not also give us everything? I read this verse again from Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works. For what? To serve the living God. And as I have just said, not out of fear, but with joy, serving God from the heart, knowing that we are not only redeemed, but that in the offering of this sinless lamb and the holy blood, the divine blood that was shed, we have been made acceptable to God. I read further from Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, verse 14. Here the goal is shown to us that was achieved through this redemption. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Paul writes to the Philippians, we who are goal-orientated, we have the goal set before us, forgetting what lies behind us and reaching out to what lies ahead. We, who we are goal-orientated, no more uncertainty, no more half-work before us, but a full assurance of faith, of having been redeemed, justified, sanctified, and made acceptable to God by the spotless Lamb of God, who shed his holy blood on Calvary. And whoever can receive this in faith becomes joyful. He gets happy. I'm going to read from Hebrews 10, namely verse 38, so that you know that it also depends on faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Everything is based on faith. We must believe with all our heart. And if we believe in the accomplished work of redemption on Calvary, then through this faith in the accomplished work of redemption, the work has been done in us, then God has done it on us and in us, and by it God's well-pleasing is upon us. But if we draw back, what then? Then God is not well-pleased with us. It is about the biblical faith. And if in the Old Testament a lamb without blemish could be slain to make him who offers it well-pleasing to God, yes, how much more will the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God without blemish, make us well-pleasing before God? Believe today, as the scripture says, and then joy will come up in our hearts. Then we will give thanks to God and no longer stagger to and fro and work on our redemption. He who has come to rest from his own works rests in God. And that is what has been promised to God's people. What do we learn from the scriptures we have read so far? That God already indicated in the Old Testament through the various sacrifices what was intended up to the faultless sacrifice that would not only cover sin but also restore the sinner to the face of God as well-pleasing. If that was possible then, what should be possible with us today? I want to read to you from the New Testament, from the announcement of the birth of our Lord, which happened for a specific purpose. From Luke 1, I read, first of all, Luke 1, verse 16 and 17, in order to emphasize this one word, prepared. Here it is spoken of John the Baptist. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is where the beginning was made. And what did John do when he was at the height of his ministry? What was the main saying that he brought across his lips? Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He could not have created a prepared people if he had not mentioned the Lamb of God through whom we become pleasing to God. At that time, they still waited for Christ and that he would shed the blood and make mankind pleasing to God. Today, we look back and say in faith, he has made us well-pleasing to God. The wrath is taken away from us. The punishment was laid upon him that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. We have been brought back to God, and we are now on earth guests and pilgrims, but citizens and householders of God. Have we understood this? God has made the damage well through Calvary. Precious brother and dear sister, let us believe together today from the Word of God. Let us believe, as the Scripture says, that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, acceptable and without blemish, to be able to present ourselves without blemish and pleasing to God, without spot and without wrinkle or any remnant, but that truly the damage was done completely and wholly well through Calvary. Do you all believe it? Amen. Amen. God bless us. I'm going to continue to read from Luke 2. From Luke 2, verse 14. Luke 2, verse 14. Here it says, at the end of the announcement of the angel of the heavenly host, here it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, depending on the translation, and goodwill toward men, or peace among people with whom he is well pleased. In any case, here is the word well pleasing. And there are people on earth who are pleasing to God. And these are those who have been made pleasing to God through the sacrifice pleasing to God on the cross of Calvary. And whoever sees this transfigured in the Spirit, he's helped. He has crossed over from death into life. He went out free as the guilty. He was saved as the lost, pleasing and holy to the Lord. I will read you some more, and that's from Luke 3. But don't forget this thought. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace in the people of his well-pleasing. Who brought us this peace? Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The middle wall of partition is abolished. The letter of requirement is torn in pieces. The enmity is abolished. He has brought to light incorruptible life. Luke 3, that you hear it again from a holy mouth and from the holy scriptures. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. This is not written just for the sake of it. It had to be a sacrifice without blemish, a sacrifice pleasing to God, in order to present us without blemish and well-pleasing to God. Do we understand that tonight? This is redemption. This is reparation of the damage. Here is the Lamb of God being baptized, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit descends upon him, and the voice sounded from heaven, this is my beloved Son, or thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Here we have the second Adam. Oh, how could we enter now into the plan of salvation of our God? We will get there. If not today, then tomorrow. God has arranged everything wonderfully. And today is the day when we must or may fully comprehend what happened on Calvary and receive it in faith. Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. I read on from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Keep in mind this saying. When they entered into the cloud, they had literally been veiled into this supernatural glory cloud. When they entered the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, "This is my chosen Son. Hear him." This is already about election. He was predestined as a lamb. Before the foundation of the world, we were also chosen. This is my chosen Son. Hear him. This happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I want to read you what Peter says about it. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here we read verse 17 and 18. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Amen. This voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. According to Luke, this cloud veiled them in. We could now go to 1 Corinthians 10, where it's written of the Old Testament people of God, of Israel. They were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea and so forth. But God was not pleased with them. Here the cloud descended on the firstborn, infallible Son of God. On the Lamb of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's well pleasing in his firstborn brought down God's well pleasing on all the firstborn. Do you believe that? 100%. As earthly, we all come after the first Adam. So spiritually speaking, we come after the second Adam. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, Paul has included us in the glorious redemption. And here we read the following. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What for? According to the good pleasure of his will. Let us now go to the letter to the Hebrews. It should be in chapter 10, namely in verse 10, maybe 9 and 10. Hebrews 10, verse 9 and 10. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Our subject is holy and pleasing to the Lord. A complete redemption that includes spirit, soul, and body. We are only waiting for the changing of our bodies. Has the perfect sacrificial lamb, this sinless Lamb of God, by offering his perfect sacrifice and by shedding his divine blood, made us pleasing to God? Yes or no? Yes, and again yes. Yes, and amen. Shall I read it again from the Old Testament, that we may remember it well? Yes, very well. Leviticus 22. So to make you acceptable, it must be a male animal without blemish. Hence the term Lamb of God. Still on Mount Zion, our Lord is shown as the Lamb of God with the 144,000. It speaks of redemption, and they follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. He the Lamb, we the lambs. He the good shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep, so that we can follow him. And he brought us life, that we have it more abundantly. To make you well-pleasing, acceptable, no animal that has a defect in it may you offer, for it would not make you acceptable. Let us sum it up. There was a great day of reconciliation of God with mankind on the cross of Calvary. There, the damage, as far as we are concerned, was made good once and for all. The gulf has been bridged. The middle wall of partition has been taken away. Peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But not only reconciliation, complete redemption and sanctification, wisdom and everything that we only need from God, that has been given to us in Christ. I would like to read it from Corinthians, namely 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, and maybe also 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He has become everything to us. Through him, we have been made pleasing to God. And now I ask you all to listen carefully. When one of these men came with his offering to present it before God, was he allowed to look upon himself? Did he have to make any deal with himself? Or what was it? He knew he was guilty, and he knew that the animal he was offering was innocent. That's exactly how it is with us. We know that we were guilty. In the same way, we know that our guilt has been taken from us and laid on him. What are we to do now? Just believe. Believe from the heart that he offered himself as a faultless sacrifice, as the Lamb of God. For what purpose? To redeem us, to atone for our guilt. And even outside the camp he went, that we too might go outside the camp. And he sanctified himself for us, that we might be sanctified through him. He made us at the same time well-pleasing in the sight of God. Believe it today. Believe it today. And then we take a great step forward. How many can believe it? That through the perfect sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God, we have been redeemed, delivered, justified, sanctified, and even made acceptable to God. Unreprovable, untouchable, without spot and without wrinkle, the church will appear before the Lord who redeemed her. I ask you, will God do anything else in the future to settle our sin? Or did he do it on Calvary once and for all? He has done it, and we believe that today with all our hearts. He was the sinless Lamb to make us sinless. He was the sacrifice pleasing to God. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He gave himself to make us sons and daughters of God, a divine kindred. According to the scripture, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the divine kindred, and you are to proclaim the virtues of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are sons and daughters of God. We are redeemed. We have been justified. We have been made acceptable to God. Now there's only one thing. He who is pure, let him purify himself even more. And he who is holy, let him sanctify himself still more. We go forward, for it is still written, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But it's also written of the Spirit-worked sanctification. We will continue on this subject tomorrow, God willing, to show us from the scriptures how precious, how valuable, and how perfectly the work of redemption was done and accomplished by the Lamb of God and by the holy blood that flowed there. When our Lord cried out, "It is finished," it was truly done. It was done for you and for me by his grace. Let us receive it today And let us thank the Lord from the bottom of our hearts for it. For He alone has been able to accomplish it for our redemption, sanctification, even to make us well-pleasing in the sight of God. God sees us through Christ, and He sees us through Calvary as a people made well-pleasing to Him through the only begotten Son on whom God's well-pleasing rested. We too have come into possession of God's well-pleasing. Praise be to our Lord. Thanks be to the Lamb that was slain. Thanks be to God for such a perfect redemption through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. If there is still someone in our midst who has not yet opened his heart, who has not yet accepted the accomplished work of redemption, dear heart, do not try it with your mind. Believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Believe that He is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, including your sin. The guilt of us all was laid on Him so that we might have peace, and by His stripes we were healed. Also you, dear heart, whoever comes under the sound of the true proclamation of the gospel, enters very dangerous ground. For he or she must make a decision for the Lord. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. God has come down to, in Christ, reconcile the world to Himself. God divided Himself into a revelation in the flesh and a revelation in the Spirit in order to reconcile and unite us who are in the flesh with Himself, who is Spirit. That is why Christ was both God and man. Man, in order to be able to die, God, in order to conquer death and overcome hell, and to rise on the third day, or to be raised, to be resurrected. And He cried out, saying, I have the keys of death and of hell. Should anyone be here without having made the decision so far, especially if anyone is considering to be baptized, I have a direct word from the Lord on that. If you don't want to be a part of a biblical church, you don't need to be baptized. It just comes to my heart, and I read it to you from the Holy Scriptures so that you know that in the kingdom of God there is also a biblical order to which all must adhere. In Acts 2, from verse 38, is written the well-known text. In verse 41 it says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, all whom God adds become a part of His body, are a part of the church. They are not observers. They do not stand outside to watch. they become a part of the church. Those who accept the word enter the way of faith and obedience in following Jesus Christ. And so we ask all who are serious about their salvation to receive the Lord and then continue to walk on the biblical way through baptism, and then also become a part of the church, of the body. Let us sing the chorus, "Just As I Am."
Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Herr unser Gott, Lord our God, we thank you for your precious and holy word. Faithful God, you have made all harm good. You have provided a Lamb of God before the foundation of the world, and you have chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we, by predestination, through the Lamb, we might be redeemed and brought back to you, presented well-pleasing to you, as though there had never been a fall. Beloved Lord, you Lamb of God, we thank you with all our hearts that it is true. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us and makes all things new. You were the sinless Lamb. Upon you rested God's well-pleasing. I thank you for it, O Lamb of God. Worthy are you, Lamb of God, to take the book and to open the seals. You have done it. I thank you for it. And all those who are written in this book, namely in the Lamb's book of life that was slain, they hear what the Spirit says to the churches. They recognize the prophetic ministry for this age, and they hear of the opening of the seals and of that what you, O Lord, are doing in these days. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the finished work of redemption. I thank you that you have done it. We are now made acceptable in the sight of God through the blood of the Lamb, who was holy and is holy and still speaks for us today. O sinless Lamb, no lie was found in your mouth. Perfect you were, obedient unto the death on the cross, to dissolve our disobedience and to embed it into your obedience, in order to make out of us children of men, children of God. Here we are, dear Lamb of God, take us and let us be truly what you have made out of us in the presence of God, namely without spot and without wrinkle, unblameable, unreprovable, presented by the perfect sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God. Today, we give you thanks. Forgive our unbelief. Forgive where we have seen redemption only in part. Forgive us, O Lord. Let us look deeply into your plan of salvation, O God, and understand that you are carrying out this plan with us, yes, with your church. Worship and glory be unto you now and forever. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.